Live from Team Church Conference, this is the Leading Second Podcast.
Hey everyone, I'm Brandon Stewart, and welcome back to the Leading Second Podcast live here at Team Church Conference.
Team Church Conference.
And I am joined with the man, the myth, the legend, John Morgan from City Church Chicago.
Hey man, great to be with you.
Dude, I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here. It's been a phenomenal conference.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been I think one of my favorites today. And the whole week we've been doing this group style. I've interviewed three or four people, but since you probably have the personality of three or four people.
I have three personalities, yeah.
So, you get it all to yourself today.
Yeah, that's good. I would just dominate the other people anyway. So
that's how we're doing this today. So yeah. I want to remind everyone that may not be here today, head to teamchurchconference.com. We are streaming all of our sessions live. And if you're listening to this after the event has concluded, check out the Champion Center YouTube. We are putting all of our sessions on there. And we just want to help you and hope you'll join us next year for 2019.
It would be a good date to get set in the schedule.
Absolutely.
They register now, $99.
Absolutely. Cheapest it'll ever be.
Unless they listen to this podcast 3 months from now and then you miss your opportunity.
Then it's a little awkward.
Sorry about
actually.
That.
A little awkward.
It was $99 and you now going to pay more, but it's still worth it.
So, John, I met you when you were traveling through our church years ago when I was a Bible school intern, and I had the privilege of driving you, which meant I had the privilege of going to the gym with you. And you have an anointing on your life to make interns puke in the gym. And
it's a gift.
It's a spiritual gift. That was my introduction.
It's called driving out the lukewarmness of their Christianity.
And I've spent the better part of my adult life avoiding you in the gym.
We worked out last year,
but it was great.
We worked out. We went to the mecca of all gyms, Planet Fitness, where the dumbbells don't go over 60 pounds, the non-judgment zone. But anyway.
But in seriousness, I remember you coming to our church during that season, and then you were actually on our team. And I just want to say thank you for the investment you made into my life. What you taught and how you live literally framed my life. And so much my ministry and Leading Second is very much ripped off of everything I heard from you. I give you credit once.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Once 5 years ago.
Today is your credit.
Okay, this is your credit. I'm gonna save this podcast.
And then now forever hold your peace.
Okay.
But thank you for that. And tell us a little bit about you and your family and your church.
I'm married to a very beautiful, wonderful woman, Anna, and she is on staff at City Church in Chicago. She's the ministry director there. And so, and then I have three gorgeous daughters. Brooke is my youngest. She's at home with us in Chicago. And then my two oldest daughters, Shreya and Chloe, are actually here at Champion Center. Chloe's on staff with guest relations, and Shreya volunteers, helps out Bellevue and different things like that. So,
Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah. They're awesome. We love them. And Anna has actually been on our podcast before. You travel,
yes, sir,
and help churches. Yeah. Really quickly, what do you do for churches? How do you equip churches?
It really depends on how I'm connected to them. So the lanes go slightly different. So there are a lot of churches where I'm coaching like their youth ministries, their youth team. That's sort of like my happy space. I love youth ministry. Been doing it a long time. And so if I connect in that way, that's how I work with all their youth teams and youth leaders. At other churches, I'll come in and I've connected through either their senior pastor as a friend. So if I connect through the senior pastor, then it's usually training, doing sort of what you're doing the second tier, second level ministry, helping develop that.
Absolutely. And I love that. I mean, you have been a lead pastor, you know, at season in your life, but you have spent so much of your life in the number two seat. And I think that's really important.
10 years as a senior leader, and I think the last 20 serving somebody else's vision.
Yeah, which I just want everyone to understand that as we're talking today and what we're going to talk about, that's so important that you, and I respect that about you, and your impact is far and wide on that. And so interesting, you went from the lead role to the number two role, which is nearly
It wasn't sort of so much to go from lead role to number two. It was I was a senior pastor. I loved what I was doing. We had a great church. in everyone else's mind, it was really successful. It was one of the largest churches in New Zealand in its time.
Yeah.
We planted three other campuses. So we'd had like a campus model before there were campus models. And we had a really good team. And so that was thriving. But then on the other side of what I was doing, I was running Youth Alive. So sort of almost like what I'm doing now, doing youth and church.
Right, right.
So I ran Youth Alive in New Zealand. We ran a large youth conference called the Invasion Conference and did youth leadership training. And so while I was doing those two, I was really happy. But I always felt this like lean to youth ministry. And I'd called my pastor, back then was Pastor Brian Houston, about whether I should maybe resign my church and do youth ministry. He's like, well, you've got to really hear from God on that. So it was like an 8-year journey. And then circumstances happened. My associate resigned, move on. And I had to make a call between youth ministry and church. And so I chose the church. And then I was depressed. And I did nothing. I remember getting invited to a family camp and I thought my world had ended. Wow. And then in that season of being, you know, friends were like, why are you doing this? You seem, you know, God gives you the desire of your heart. You know, he impregnates you with desire. Maybe you're called to do youth ministry. And so that's a big call because I'm a very strong leader and I wasn't sure how I could be on somebody else's team. And so, but then I eventually, you know, got enough. I went to Pastor Brian again, laid out the words I felt like God had said. He'd validated that. It was confirmed. So then I resigned my church just to focus on youth ministry. And then I itinerated for 3 years. So I wasn't on anybody's team. I was still my own boss, based with my friend Paul De Jong, served at his church whenever I could, did any projects he wanted me to do.
Sure.
Technically not on his team. So I was still like a running and ruling my own wall.
Right.
And then did three projects in America. The short story of that was Pastor Kevin invited me to be the youth pastor here.
Yep.
That was the big transition from me, from going to be a number one to serving somebody else's vision.
Mm.
And then I've been doing that since 2002. You know.
So good, so good. And I loved when you were on our team here and amazing season. I think the idea I wanted to have you unpack for our tribe today is one of the thoughts that shaped my life in that season when you were around our church and here on our team is the idea of being a number one, number two. And I just want to set you loose on that for a minute. But that thought, I was different after you brought that thought into my world.
Well, there's a lot of angles to that, but just for the sake of time, the number one, number two concept came out of Joseph's life.
Yes.
And how he's the prototype. Any message you've ever heard on dreams, visions, you know, whether it be in church or an Amway conference or a business meeting, you know, they're going to talk that the dreamer, you know, the dreamer achiever was Joseph.
Right.
And when you really analyze Joseph's life, Joseph really was not much of a dreamer. In fact, Joseph's dream was pretty self-serving. Joseph's dream at 17 was, well, I know I'm awesome. One day you'll acknowledge my awesomeness.
Yeah, right, right.
That's
yeah,
pretty much all
yeah,
it was.
You'll bow down.
And it was, yeah, you'll bow down. And so it was about me, yeah, my ministry, my opportunity. And then over the process of time, you know, Joseph got connected to Pharaoh, who was the real dreamer, because he had 7 good years, 7 bad, this huge dream, which actually was national and international salvation. So all Joseph did was connect himself to something massively bigger. And then when he connected himself with that, Joseph's dream pretty much become a reality in the context of Pharaoh's dream. And when you look at Joseph's life, he wasn't really a dreamer, he was more of a strategist. He was able to see what Pharaoh could see, was able to break Pharaoh's vision down in the context, in church talk, in the context of his department. So it's like the youth leader looking at the overall vision and bringing it in the context of youth ministry.
Right.
The children's worker be able to bring culture and vision into there, you know, wherever it flows. And so Joseph was this hugely significant figure. You've never heard a message on Pharaoh the dreamer.
Wow.
Ever. And he never was, and Joseph never was a number one. And so a lot of guys wanna be the number one guy because they feel like that's the way you get significance. That's the way you get importance, by being the dominating person. But Joseph never was. He served his dad's vision, took his brother's lunch. You know, he served Potiphar's vision. He served the jailer. And then he served Pharaoh. So that's all he did, was serve all of his life. And we're sitting here today talking about Joseph, not talking about Pharaoh.
So amazing.
So you can be significant. Like, you can, if you can thrive in the right environment, you know, and And the truth is, as far as the number one, number two is, the common denominator in any organization, a church of 20, church of 200, 2,000, 20,000, the common denominator is there's usually only one spot for the number one role.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe two in some circumstances.
Yep.
But that means everybody else is leading second.
That's right.
So, that's right. You know, it's like the number one role is important, but nothing happens without great number twos.
Well, and I think one of the things that bothered me so much about ministry, why I think we're attempting to do something like this, is that you see people in the number two role get frustrated, you know, feel like there's a lot in them. In fact, in our lab yesterday, we had some questions come in like to that nature of, I feel like there's more in me. You know, I don't know if I have the opportunity to get it out. And we buy into the lie that I can't succeed as a number two. Therefore, I have to go be a number one in order to succeed. Like, that becomes the measure of success. And you said to me in that season, you can be a number two, number one, or you can be a number one, number two.
Yeah.
And I just think that that point of frustration moves so many guys, couples, ladies, like out of the lane God actually had for them. And they end up just being mediocre in the number one role when they could have been phenomenal.
It is a bit of a challenge for the church. And it's the onus of the situation falls both with the senior pastor and the number two guy. They both have to own the responsibility for that. And it becomes chemistry. Becomes communication. That's the only way it's going to work. There's plenty of opportunities, plenty of room. It never works if you have a senior pastor who's intimidated. So there are two pharaohs. You have Joseph's pharaoh, who had no problem with Joseph riding the second chariot, no problem with people bowing down and treating Joseph just like they would Pharaoh. No problem with his authority. Let him run. Okay, you see that? You run with it, which only happens when the number two adds value.
Right.
If you're a number two and you're on staff and you're always, what have I got to do? How have I got to do that? And you're needy, then, you know, your role's probably always going to be small. Not because your pastor keeps you small, you have small capacity. When you can run fast and then you can take stuff off the pastor and you can take, you know, programs and you can help run stuff and you can make the pastor's load a lot lighter, then they'll, you know, if they're not intimidated, they'll give you more. So Joseph's pharaoh let him loose. Next pharaoh came who didn't know Joseph, right. And that was Moses' pharaoh.
Right, right.
Who was totally intimidated by anybody else's success and made it hard for them to thrive. And so you ended up with the biggest church split in history called the Exodus, you know. So in essence, that number two, that there's got to be that chemistry and communication and there's no limit to what you can do if you can, as a number two, take on the responsibility to help the church grow.
Totally.
Like the Bible speaks about Joseph, he added value. He brought something to the table. And so as a number two, rather than, you know, what's my pastor holding out from me, it should be, now, what can I bring to the table here?
Right.
What value can I add? And if you keep adding value and keep building and the chemistry and communication is good, then there's really no limit to what you can do, unless the senior guy has a lid. Mm-hmm. And then that requires communication.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said. I've heard you say it, that the number two role is the architect of honor. That we, when we lead in the second chair, we are the highest role, if you want to call it that, in the organization that also has to lead up.
Yeah.
So we architect the culture of honor. That's actually the place in the organization where honor comes from. I think, and I know you think, this honor culture gets a bad rap today in kind of our
culture. I don't know why it gets a bad rap. I think that's a misunderstanding of honor.
Yep.
I think if people really understand what honor is and the biblical principle.
Totally.
I had somebody, I was in a meeting just recently. They said, how does this go down with, you know, millennials? How does this whole thing work, you know? And the same similar thing gets a bad rap. And I was like, well, you have to teach the Bible.
Right.
Like, just because a generation is different doesn't change the scripture.
Totally.
So, you know, the principle of scripture simply is that where honor is high, the anointing is illuminated, and where honor is low, the anointing is diminished. So it's never about me honoring you just to make you feel good.
Totally.
And when you think about honor, honor is just add value. So that's what it means. I'm adding value and I'm adding weight. So if somebody says, you know, do you feel like we should honor people? I'm like, do you think we should add value to people? I just put that word in there.
Wow.
Do you think I should add value? Do I think I should add, you know, do you think I should help, you know, should add something to you? Mm-hmm. Like, is there anybody who would say no? You know, so honor, it's got this perception of like somehow it's just self-serving, it's just me. No, it's adding value, however I can add value. So if I add value by bringing your car up to the door so you can get out of the building quick, then that's on. If I can add value to you by, you know, pastorally caring for a whole, you know, I'm just adding value to the organization. And so in the Bible, the power of God or the authority that's in you comes from your anointing. So if you're a senior guy, and you, no, let's take it this way. Just say you're an evangelist.
Okay.
And you have an anointing, you're marked by God to see souls saved.
Yep.
So when that anointing is on you and you do an altar call, souls are going to get saved. I've heard evangelists preach messages make no sense. You know, get up and have, you've seen it happen.
Anyone want
to get saved and the altars are packed. You're like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
They didn't say anything intelligent. That's God's power.
Absolutely.
Moving on their anointing.
Absolutely.
Of evangelism. So what happens is when I dishonor, I diminish that anointing.
Wow.
So Jesus couldn't do many miracles in one city. Why? Because the prophet's only without honor in his hometown. So when the honor was low, it blocked the power that was released through his anointing.
Right.
The opposite is true. When honor was high, power is easy. In fact, the woman with the issue of blood, her honor was so high, she's like, I'll add value. I don't even want him to stop. I don't need a conversation. I don't need him to hold my hand. I don't need him to say a special prayer. I'll add value. He can just keep going. If I can just clip the hedge of his garment when he's coming past me, I'm going to be good. That's all I need.
Yep.
So she worked her way through the crowd. No one got her there. She just clipped the edge and Jesus stopped in his tracks and said, what just happened? And so she drew off his anointing, healing into her body. So whenever I honor my leader, it's not about making my leader great. It's about taking what God has put on my leader and accentuating that for the people so that the people get the best.
Absolutely.
It's always about the people in the crowd. It's always about, even on that thought about the crowd, which is where I think we lose the number one, number two thing, is you go back to Joseph and Pharaoh. So Joseph and Pharaoh, let's say they're together 20 years. It's a 14-year commitment of the seven good and seven bad.
Yep.
Pretty small window. Joseph's riding the second chariot. Pharaoh's making bank in recession. They're eating the best food. They're driving the best chariots. People are, woo, there's Joseph. They bow down as Joseph's dream was, and they worship Joseph. So that's what everyone focuses on. You know that whole gig was put together? It wasn't about Joseph or Pharaoh. It was just about Judah. Because Judah was carrying the seed to the Messiah. And if Judah had died in the famine, you and I would be going to hell right now.
Totally.
Because the seed to Messiah would have died in his loins. So while everybody else is looking at all the paraphernalia, the end of the thing is not about whether you ride the second chariot. It's not about whether or not you ride the first chariot. It's like, how are we getting the seed? How are we getting Jesus to a community? So we just focus on all the wrong stuff. And the same thing with honor. Why wouldn't you want to honor? If you want more people to get saved and you believe the power of God gets people saved and you believe the power of God comes off a leader, then why wouldn't you want to make sure that whatever's on them comes off them the best?
That's so good. So good. Hey, thank you so much for doing this today. And I'm going to have you answer one more question here before we're done. But I just want to say a big thank you to you for carrying that all these years. Thank you for never overlooking a moment, you know, to deposit that into a young leader. I know you've probably had this conversation, you know, 500 times. Mm-hmm. And thank you for carrying that message for young leaders today. Thank you for the airplane flights and the, you know, all the inconveniences that come with it. I am grateful. I know our tribe is grateful. They're going to hear a lot more from you in the future. So just thanks, man. Answer one final question. If you could leave everybody with this final thought, if a leader wants to walk away from this podcast and show honor to their pastor, what would that practically look like? Like, what's something they could walk away and practically do today to show their leader honor?
Well, they have to find out what their leader feels value honored on. You know, that's what you really have to do. How does your, because everyone perceives it differently. So what I feel value when I feel people add value to me, I feel value for me when people work out with me and hang out with me. You know, spend time. I like that.
They got to go to the gym again with you.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that that to me is, you know, where other people, it may be they want you to carry their bags. Other people may be, I don't need you to carry my bag. Just go and visit. Get in the lobby of the church and talk to people for me. You know, get in the parking lot and make sure that solo mums or single dads aren't carrying their babies on their own. You know, represent me well. So one of the things I would do at Champion Center, and I still would do it at City Church or Family Christian Center, whatever, but more here, whenever I was in the building, I would carry myself like Pastor Kevin. I would be his ambassador.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm honoring him by how I carry myself in the building. And then when I'm in his airspace, I'm just focusing on what I'm perceiving he needs or Pastor Sheila needs at that moment. When I walk out of their airspace and I'm not with them perceiving their needs, now I'm carrying their needs to the people around me. So, yeah, but it's hard to lock it onto what can they, one thing they do.
Yeah.
Because every leader values something different. You need to know what they value and understand that and then fill that value.
It's great. It's a great answer. Thanks, John.
No worries, man. Love you too.
We hope you've enjoyed being with us this week live from Team Church Conference. I want to encourage you to head to teamchurchconference.com for our final sessions of the event and also to get registered for 2019. We have reimagined the conference for next year, a new focus, a new structure. It's going to be a year not to miss. I also want to encourage you to head to leadingsecond.com or the Leading Second Forum on Facebook. We'd love to have you in our tribe. Next week, we'll be back with the podcast in our regular format, and we will be answering some of the questions we did not get to in our labs at the Team Church Conference here. So it's going to be a great episode next week. You're not going to want to miss it. We love you, Leading Second. Let's run strong for the kingdom and lead in an uncommon way together.